All right, Sunday morning, 9/17/23. We're going to do a teaching called Naming and Mapping the Powers. This is going to be part five. Lord reminded me, I told you to teach on spiritual mapping. I kind of dropped the ball a few weeks there, so we're going to get back on track with that. All right. Do y'all remember when I said to you that the Lord said that the places that you frequent are your points of infiltration? Y'all remember that? Okay. We must be led by the Spirit because God has a plan for that encounter. This is part of the Great Commission. Sometimes, most times, some naming and mapping may be required to get the ground prepared to receive the seed of the gospel. In other words, some places are just hard ground and they're not open to receive because of the demonic strongholds that have infiltrated that area. It's just not open. All right? And so mapping, naming and mapping the powers, God will cause us to break up that fallow ground. We're going to look at that. This is Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and so not among thorns. When you see Judah there, that's New Testament. You see Jerusalem there, that's old. I know this was an Old Testament scripture, but that's what I saw when I read that. Judah and Jerusalem. God's taking down the wall of partition that was between us. We're to take our ground back. So not among thorns. What are thorns? Numbers 33:55, I think it is. If you don't take care of these ites, there'll be thorns in your side and pricks in your eyes or whatever it is. Don't sow among the thorns. We got to clear them out. All right, there's another scripture. To me, you're wasting time and energy. God has to show us, okay, is this field ripe or ready? Is it been broken up? Is it ready to receive the seed of the gospel? Or is there things we need to do some prep work before we can, for our team to go in and take the gospel? All right. Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come in righteousness upon you. How are we going to find out? Seeking the Lord. We got to get the fields. Fallow just means plowed ground. All the weeds and the rocks and the stuff we don't want in there have been taken out so we can plant. All right? Jesus laid down in Matthew and Mark the Great Commission. Matthew 28, Mark 16. It is the only commission. There is no other commission. It is first and foremost. This is what Paul and the other apostles did. They began to take the gospel into the Jewish towns and cities, and also into the Gentile towns and cities. There's no greater commission than this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Earlier this year, the Lord showed to me Mark 4 was not about using your faith so much. I guess you could use it for that. But it was actually about the gospel going forth, about the Great Commission. This is Mark chapter 4. Maybe one day I'll write a book on it because most people do not see it this way. All right. Starting with verse 1 there. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. It came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. These are fields here, fields of harvest, you know, fields to plant in. Some were easily done. Some, well, it gave the conditions here. Some stony and rocky. Some had thorns. But some fell on good ground, and they got 30, 60, 100-fold harvest. Talk about the great harvest. Is there any wonder the Lord is raising up apostolic teams all across this nation? We're going to take the gospel. This is what it's all about. The king is coming. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. What is the mystery of the kingdom of God? Jesus Christ and him crucified. What the devil did and the ruin he left, Jesus came to earth, died on the cross so that men could have eternal life. There it is. There's the mystery of the kingdom. It says, if they had known this, it would not have crucified the Lord of glory. No. It is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. It's all about that, isn't it? Forgiveness of sins. And he said unto them, know ye not that this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these... it's talking about the word going in the ground. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Then he goes on to say, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it is measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Then it goes on to talk about, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Folks, this isn't just about faith. This is about the Great Commission. Most people use it as, this is just when I want something. Well, yeah, maybe it'll work for that. But Jesus is talking about the kingdom. People receiving the kingdom. Isn't that why he came? He came from heaven to earth to show the way. Yeah. That's what's important with God. The commission. All right, I want to divert from the Old New Testament for a minute and go to the Old Testament. We're talking about naming the powers here. Okay, Lord, how do we go in and infiltrate and get the ground ready for those to take the gospel in, where people will have ears to hear? They're not all covered about with the demonics that are in their area that have influenced them. People act the way they act because of that. Our society didn't get here overnight. Had a lot of help, a lot of devils, a lot of demonic agendas. All right, Joshua chapter 11. We need to be going like fishermen. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Everywhere we go, we got our hook ready. Try to hook up wherever the Lord leads us, with whoever. He'll give us a place to put the hook in, to reel them in. Joshua 11, 15. Wait a minute, I'm like 1. That's not it. 11. 15. And the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all the land, the hills and the south country, and with all the land of Goshen and the valley and the plain and the mountains of Israel and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon. And all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. Joshua made a war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. I think they're the ones that tricked him. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that they might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them, as the Lord commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and all the mountains of Judah, from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza and Gath and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. So Joshua took the whole land. I want to focus in on the mention of Baal Gad today. Baal Gad. Baal is the chief god of the Canaanites. And we see that it's also fortune. I think Gad means fortune. So that was their god of provision, I guess. All right. You realize it's the same god that we are dealing with today. Baal worshipers. Those arches of Baal. I heard someone talking the other day that Hillary Clinton wanted to do a speech. She wanted the altar of Baal transported from somewhere to wherever she was doing the speech so she could do her speech right there under the altar of Baal. Yeah. So, yeah. All right, Joshua 12:7. He dealt with this same spirit here, right here. This is Joshua 12:7. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side of Jordan on the west, from Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions. So Joshua, they'd take it and then they'd divide the land up. All right. 13:5, another place. And the land of the Giblites and all Lebanon toward the sun rising from Baal Gad under Mount Hermon unto the entering into Hamath. All right, Joshua, we already read. Oh, I want to read Jude 11 to you right quick. It talks about Cain. which to me is Canaanite, kind of stems from that, or that's what they say, it stems from that. Jude 11 says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." So these are all that went against God and chose to go the other way. All right, Numbers 22:5. Then I'm going to read you a little bit about Baal. In fact, that same spirit's working in the U.S. and the world. All right, he sent messengers before unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river, the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there's a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me." So Balaam was a false prophet hired by the king of Moab to curse the Israelites during their wilderness journey. His name appears 50 times in the Old and New Testament. He is classified as a soothsayer who cooperated with both the Midianites and the Moabites against Israel. Balaam is the epitome of a false prophet and a hireling. He tried successfully to lure the Israelites, the cult to Baal Peor, and Balaam was later killed by the Israelites. In the New Testament, he is the symbol of avarice and false religion. See, these entities have not gone away. People don't understand that. I mean, the inhabitants of the land that worship this Baal, they, you know, destroyed these people, but the spirit's still there. Just like with Elijah and the spirit of Jezebel. See, these are entities that are over regions, and they're still over those regions, unless they've been taken out. All right. All right, now the names might change, but the demonic assignment is still the same. That's why you see generational evil. That's why we've seen for the last 6,000 years the same old behavior. Just repeat and repeat, repeat and repeat. That's what the devil does. All right. All right, after Joshua, God raised up others to keep the ites at bay. One of them was Gideon. This is Judges 8. Now we've heard about the Gideon's army of late. There's still Gideons around to take out these entities. This is 8:33. "And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal Berith their god." Repeat and repeat. We're still serving Baal. Astaroth, that's what abortion is. It's what this adrenochrome harvesting, child sex trafficking, organ harvesting, all this is what this is. This is this entity. All right. It seems every generation must do their part to advance the kingdom of God. Because he said, if you don't take care of these things, they're going to be thorns in your sides, pricks in your eyes. All right. All throughout the Old and New Testament, principalities and powers are currently known by the by their names. All right. All right, let's go to Ephesians 6:12. Now today we don't go in and kill the giants, but we do our warfare in the spirit. All right, Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers." Now, I'm just going to touch on those two today. Principalities mean chief of order, time, place, or rank. powers, privilege, force, capacity, competency, capacity, freedom, mastery, magistrate, superhuman potentate, token of control, or delegated influence. All right? We must be led by the Spirit to take out these spirits that have infiltrated everywhere. That's why we can't just flippantly go in and try to do stuff. We need to hear from God about it. We need to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what am I dealing with here? What do I need to say here? What do I need to do here? They've clogged up the atmosphere everywhere. So we have to have wisdom from God to know what to do about them. And this is a serious thing. It's not a flippant thing in any way. Not a quick, I bind you, Satan. I don't think so. I think it's going to take a little more planning to do that. All right? Many of these ruling entities are known all over the world. One of them here in Bolivia, they worship the sun god and they call this god Mother Earth. Ever heard of that one? Only God can determine and relay to us if knowing the name is necessary, but it could help us be aware of the type of oppression that is present in the area we are mapping for infiltration, because in their name will reflect what they're doing, how they are oppressing, what territory they're occupying at times, all right? Like Moses and Joshua sent the spies out to map out the area, both of them. Jesus asked in one instance the demons he was dealing with, that is with the madman of Gadara. He asked what his name was. All right, this is from the Dictionary of New Testament Theology. In the faith and thought of virtually every nation, the name is inextricably bound up with the person, whether of a man or of a god or a demon. Anyone who knows the name of a being can exert power over it. The more specific the instructions we get from God, the more powerfully can this binding power be broken off and healing to come. With things the way they are, it's going to be really hard-pressed to get people born again if they're under these influences. Focused warfare prayer is effective in this. Spiritual mapping is needed before evangelism can be brought in, just like I read the parable of the sower. These are not things that we can do in the natural, but only can be done in the supernatural. All right, I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians 4:18 right quick. This scripture that I brought in the last teaching, while we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Like I said, some of these entities have been here for thousands of years. And they're in the unseen realm. When we do this, we're treading into the unseen realm. We're taking out these entities. I mean, in the world, all you hear about is the military and the digital warriors and all that they're doing. But they don't give enough credit to the ones that are going into the unseen realm and taking care of these entities. Because if you don't do that, you're not going to successfully do the other. All right? It is sad to say that the devil has done his job well. Now, as the church, we must do our job well. God is expecting it of us. All right? God will give us our assignments. It is true that most of the known world is taken in false religions. Yeah. Just as we have physical boundaries all around us by warfare, prayer, by spiritual mapping, we can see into the unseen realm and by the Spirit tear down these spiritual barriers. It might be necessary to do some research about your area at times. Let the Holy Spirit lead you on that. Okay, I'm going to read a few scriptures here. Ezra chapter 4. Okay, where's Ezra? There you are. All right, this is four, first three verses. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. All right. Now go over to Acts 13. Start with verse 1 there. In the old covenant, they did build natural churches, but we're building a spiritual house. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lysias the Cyrenian man, and which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as he ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So this man was influencing a leader, the sorcerer. And Elymas, a sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Yeah. Proverbs 20:18 says, Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. We need to hear from God to make war, to war a good warfare against whatever assignment the Lord gives us. We can never forget who the commander-in-chief is. We're not fighting with flesh and blood, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That is personally and corporately as well. Just think how much greater this will be when we get Christian leaders on board. This is where there will be power and unity. One band, one sound, instead of everybody just doing their own thing and trashing other pastors on when they get on TV. They trash all the other ministers. Yeah. This stuff's got to stop, all right? We must not be discouraged of the fortifications of the enemy, for we have seen many rules, regulations, and laws change just by our confessions. Many rules, regulations, and laws have changed because of what we have been speaking. So don't get discouraged about that. In fact, Governor Abbott, as of 9-1, there's no more of that forcing these reassessment surgeries and puberty blockers on children. It's banned in the state of Texas. So that's one of them that's on our list. So we need to document that, keep that as a record. We have been effective. All right. The gospel is good news to the hearer. That includes love, healing, prosperity, and everything that is good. If you told someone they would be locked down if they didn't serve God, it would be disastrous. That's what the deep state's trying to do. No, we are lights in a dark place. Let us not focus on the darkness, but on the light. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Like I said, we're about loving people, not hurting people, not hating people, not arguing with people about what silly stuff they believe or what they're practicing or what they're doing that we don't agree with. We're about loving them and helping them any way we can to make them more conducive to come to the gospel, to come to Jesus, right? Above all in our endeavors, never allow fear for it is the biggest enemy. Humility, recognition of God's power is to be maintained always. Ignorance of the spiritual world can also lead to foolish mistakes. Men are called, but few are chosen to do what the Lord is teaching us to do. Not everybody's going to be doing this, so don't make them feel bad because they're not. They may have another assignment. We must not let spiritual arrogance get in the way. I'm going to read a couple passages of Scripture, then we're going to be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul's talking here. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now we know in the Great Commission, what did he say in Mark 16 that we would do? We'd cast out devils. We'd lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. All right, 2 Corinthians. Just a few verses and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Oh, you're right. 2 Corinthians, sorry. 2 Corinthians 12. All right. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. You know, if Paul didn't do what he did, he wouldn't have gone through what he went through. So that analogy about, you know, you fire on someone, they fire back. and you start going in and taking the land, it would be naive to think that the enemy wouldn't fire back, right? So we need to arm ourselves with that mindset and not get so down in the mouth about it. Just grieving over it, what you're suffering. You need to look at the victory. Go back and look at what the things that we've dated, that things have come to pass, but what we're doing. Isn't that what it's all about? The victory?